praise you, gracious Lord, for seeing fit to stoop down and feed your little ones today. And then to take us by the hand, to lead us all the way to glory. And such is our wonderful experience. And so, Heavenly Father, be pleased. Heavenly Father, let this just be a time as we listen to your words, be a time where you are, just enjoy your people, and may we enjoy you. And let it also have its intended effect. May it fall in good soil. As we know your seed, the word is always good. Let our hearts also be good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grand finale. So we've been going through the book of Daniel. We come to the final chapter, Daniel chapter 12, short chapter, 13 verses. And it's going to be a kind of a sad thing because I love the book of Daniel so much. It's one of my 66 favorite books of the Bible. It would actually be in the top 10. To kind of give us the grand finale, of course, that Christians are eagerly waiting, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a rich statement from Titus chapter 2. Christians are those who are waiting. This is not advanced Christianity, like only the most mature and spiritual are eagerly waiting for the return of Christ. It's almost like a litmus test that all Christians have this about them. They think about, they anticipate, they eagerly await the appearing of Jesus. It's our blessed hope. There are many hopes that are offered in this life, and some are okay and some are not so good, but all of them are vanity when compared to our blessed hope. And so in some ways, this should bring us relief from time to time, because in this life, we're going to get disappointed. The Bible says that hope deferred makes a soul sick. And so there's times where we have a particular desire or an expectation, and it may be a noble thing, a good thing, but it falls through for whatever reason. And it's a disappointment. However, that can always be absorbed by the blessed hope, the greater hope, that no matter what happens in this life, many hopes, if you will, that may fall through, or even those that are accomplished, they still are nothing compared to the blessed hope that has been in the heart of the family of God for some 2,000 years. This is just normal Christianity. And what is presented in the New Testament was not just a first century phenomenon that, they were more excited, but they soon learned better because he didn't return in the first century. No, it's the church, which is one bride, if you will, spanning over the centuries. But to Christ, it's all one body, one the bride. She is anticipating this glorious wedding. Like if you ask any bride to be, let's say they're going to get married in 3 months, or this Saturday, or the next Saturday, and ask them, have you thought about your wedding recently? I mean, that's a ridiculous question, because, yeah, they think about it nonstop. Now, the groom, on the other hand, he's just along for the ride often enough, but that bride is very sensitive and desiring that, and is working diligently, and maybe even driving some people crazy with it. But not anybody I know personally, by the way, just thought I'd say that. But she's thinking, and that's what the church by definition, the bride of Christ, the body, like the head and body are connected, so there's this relationship which is a constant concern, is a blessed hope. And that's what we're looking forward to. So this is just standard Christian excitement, but it's also sometimes standard Christian exercise because we can get distracted. There's a lot of attractions, a lot of things in the shadow realm that are vying for our affection. So it can be an exercise, too, to remind ourselves to do a spiritual push-up. Like, I got to push off the temporary plane and remember the eternal plane. And that is to say, eternal life. And here we have no continuing city. We seek for one that is to come, Hebrews 13:14. And so we're very fortunate to have this hope. And as New Testament saints, we're also very fortunate with the amount of detail we have concerning the end times. Now, in former times, and as we're going to be seeing in a moment with Daniel, there were clues given here and there. But even the writers were not quite clear on everything that they were writing about. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter, that the Old Testament writers, they only knew so much, and they certainly longed to know more. But it is our privilege to see 2020 what they saw only to some extent. So we've been given a lot of details in the New Testament era that should really stir up our hope. I mean, even in the Old Testament, there was hope. Job had hope. He said, I'm going to see him with my own eyes. So there's almost a thought towards resurrection, which would not have been fully understood at that point. And I know that my Redeemer lives, and so he had hope. And so as we come into Daniel chapter 12, we're given a picture of the grand finale of the last days. But it only goes so far. We have a much fuller picture as we tie it in with the teaching of Jesus and Paul and, of course, the book of Revelation. And so let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who is charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now, to be fair to the context, and we always want to consider context when we're reading scriptures, studying scriptures, Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12 are one unit. And when it says there in verse 1 at that time, it connects back to chapter 11, which was covered to some degree. It wasn't covered in great lengths, but we touched upon it last week concerning the wars that would happen over generations, which prefigured the end times. They were like a type and shadow forecasting what would be at the end. And so as we move to Daniel chapter 12, we also have that in view. There is a local application which has already been fulfilled, and there's a distant application which has yet to come. And so at that time, there's going to be this great trouble. And Jesus talked about this time of great trouble as well in Matthew chapter 24. And no doubt he had the book of Daniel in mind as he referred to that. And so I'll just read it here. Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short." And so Jesus is also referring to a time at the end, which, you know, of course, we're fast approaching. We're much closer than even when Jesus presented it. There's going to be a time of great trouble, but notice the quick shift here. you basically have this tribulation at the beginning of verse 1, and then it's almost like it's reversed instantly. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now, at this time, in this dispensation, the Jews were the people of God. They were the chosen nation. And this is where we have a more, a wider view, if you will, because now the chosen people are not the Jews, but they are anyone who has faith in God, Jews and Gentiles alike. And so at the end of time, there's going to be a time of great tribulation, and God is ultimately going to deliver his people. He's going to catch his people unto himself. There's going to be the wonderful rapture, second coming, and that's for everybody whose name is found written in the book of life. There is that deliverance. And then in verse 2, we have a very substantial verse in terms of eschatology and doctrine. By the way, eschatology just means end time things. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so on the one hand, verse 1 presents us perilous times and a quick deliverance, if you will, or what seems to be quick, the way the verse describes it. And then in verse 2, we shift to the mighty and wonderful teaching of the resurrection of the dead. In fact, this is the only dual resurrection verse in the Old Testament, found here in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Now, the resurrection is hinted at from time to time, certainly in the Psalms. Isaiah speaks to resurrection, but Daniel puts a very fine point on it, that death is not the end. And for Christians, death has no sting. Death has no victory, because the grave cannot hold the people of Christ. The grave could not hold Christ himself. You know, you will not leave my soul in Sheol, and the Lord was resurrected. Since there was no sin found in him, death couldn't keep him down. And then all who are in Christ are going to be raised. And so what we have here, and just kind of like a picture, it's not as clear, as I said, in the New Testament, where we have things specified, but we have this hard time, this deliverance, and then this resurrection. And the just, the righteous, are raised, and they're raised to everlasting life. And then the wicked are also raised to everlasting contempt or condemnation. Now, that is more fully explained, as I've said, in the New Testament. Jesus alluded to the dual resurrection in John 5. He talked about the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Of course, his audience would have instantly, if they knew their Bibles, would have instantly thought of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And then as we move through the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit generously privileges us with a greater understanding, we find the dual resurrection. At the coming of Christ, the dead in Christ shall be raised and shall reign with him eternally. And then, as per the book of Revelation, there's actually a gap between the first resurrection, that is the resurrection of the just, and then the second resurrection, the resurrection of the unjust. And those people are raised at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and they're raised only to be judged and to be found guilty and cast into the lake of fire. And so that's a horrible experience. And so hopefully we and those that we love and as many as we can reach will participate in the first resurrection, you know, the transformation, the in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality and to have bodies like unto Christ. We don't know exactly how we'll be, but we know we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so as you can see, This little chapter, 13 verses, and we only covered two thus far, in Daniel has this wonderful big picture of trouble and triumph, particularly as the age of human rule comes to a close. Verse 3, "And those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And so the saints are going to shine for all eternity. And they're going to be like the brightness of the sky, it says here. And those that were diligent, those that were seeking to save souls, as it says here, they turn people to righteousness. They help in the work of God in the way that God has called them to, whether by words or by deeds. The whole body of Christ is a ministry of reconciliation. And those that made a choice to plug in and to seek first the kingdom of God and offer God the little that he has given for us to do, and then he is valiant on our behalf, they shine forever and ever and are glorious unto the Lord. Verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So what a wonderful, well-rounded, almost like a summary of what's going to happen at the end of the age, the grand finale. Great trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble, difficulties. Paul talks about perilous times that would come. But then the quick deliverance. Jesus talked about how that those who cry out to God day and night for vindication, he says, shall they not be answered quickly? The justice of God will come. And when that turnaround comes, it'll be a fast thing. And then we have the resurrection and the reign of Christ and that second resurrection and the eternal glory of being in the kingdom of God, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. How glorious. And then the attention turns to Daniel. Boy, what a download Daniel's got. I mean, not only that little passage or section of three verses as we have it, but think about all the revelations that Daniel got through that glorious book. I mean, that book is dense with revelation. And so Daniel has been blessed, and he's been given a lot of info and a lot of wisdom, if you will. But we almost have a little bit of a correction here. And that's basically going to be the main point, if you will, of the rest of the message. "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." And so, Daniel, that's basically all for now. That's all I'm going to give you. You've got a lot. And so enjoy. Think about it. Muse upon these things. And then we have this little line at the end. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And the more popular understanding, if you will, and the one that I used to think about was the amount of travel at the end of time. There's going to be so much traveling, and people are going to be running to and fro. But perhaps more in terms of the context, where the subject matter turns now to understanding and knowledge and a desire perhaps to know more. Perhaps it's better to understand that many are going to go to great lengths in order to have understanding. There's confusion, there's darkness, there's chaos. And at the end of time, people are going to be ever learning. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to learn, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so, Daniel, you've been given this generous allotment. Enjoy it. You know, go and be at peace. But the people of the world, they're always seeking, and especially at the end, when the tree of the knowledge of good and evil almost comes full circle, and people are able to access no end of information, not necessarily that brings illumination, that would bring transformation, but they get a lot of data, but it really doesn't do them any good. And they're never going to be at peace unless they surrender to the Lord and receive from Him. Now, for Daniel and for us, and this is really the it might be so simple, you might say, that's just too simple, and that's fine. Go listen to a message later. You'll find them online and much more complex, perhaps. But for now, for us, some things come to mind when we get such wisdom that was just given in the first three verses and the book of Daniel and of course, the whole Bible concerning the end times. And one question that invariably comes to the surface is how long? Like, when is this thing going to get wrapped up? It's not a bad question. In fact, there's an angel that asked the question, and it suggests that it's something that even in heaven there's a concern with length of time. Now, it's a bit of a mystery. I speculate to some degree, but we do have in the book of Revelation a bunch of martyrs that are sitting under the throne of God, and they say, how long, O Lord, until there's, you know, justice for what's happened to us? And so it's not a bad question, but it's a question that we've got to be careful with. And so in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, as we continue through the end of this chapter, which is the last chapter, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. Now remember, chapters 10 through 12, it's all happening on the bank of the stream. And so he's getting this last download, if you will, in this area. Now he sees these, as we'll see, two angels. Verse 6, and someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. And so a typical question again, how long? And the answer is rather straightforward and almost assumed with a specific knowledge that this is what it is, a time, times, and half a time. Now, for most of us who have enjoyed, studied, perhaps even wrestled with Bible prophecy, we just automatically say, well, that's 3.5 years. And, of course, we've got the 3.5-year period noted a few different ways in the book of Revelation. Now, that's all well and fine, but Daniel's hearing this, and Daniel hasn't had some 20 centuries of elaboration and teaching that we kind of take for granted, that we just say, oh, yeah, that's 3.5 years, which with some humility, maybe we shouldn't be so absolute. But Daniel didn't have any of that. And so Daniel hears this, and he's probably wondering, too, yeah, how long? I'd like to know the day and the hour. I'd like to know how long we have to struggle. Now, for him, his struggle was, here I am in Persia. Some of my people have returned to Jerusalem, and they're not doing so well. And he also knows the prophecies he's been given. Persia is going to be replaced by Greece. Greece is going to be replaced by Rome. Rome's going to have some type of extension and some type of morphing, and at the end it'll be some nasty kingdom. So Daniel's like, yeah, that's a great question. I'm all ears. You angels, let's work this out. And he hears time, times, and half a time. And he's probably like, well, that's as clear as mud. I mean, that would be disappointing. If I heard that and I didn't have all the presuppositions that I have right now, which may not actually be right, you know, I just assume they're right. But if I didn't have all those presuppositions, I'd be like, man, could you maybe elaborate on that just a little bit? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. A time, times, and half a time. And so the next question, of course, is can you be a bit more specific? Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 13. I heard, but I did not understand. What are you talking about? A time, times, and half a time. And doesn't it sound like if you're hearing that for the first time, you're probably thinking, yeah, that is kind of mysterious. It is a very vague way of describing what very likely could be a 3.5-year period. You know, a time, a year, times 2 years, half a time, half a year. And it is strange, and it's God at times, he has veils over things to keep us maybe on our toes and to not be puffed up with knowledge. But Daniel's like, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about. Verse 8, then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? It's like, what in the world are you talking about? What, three, a time, time, and half a times? And verse 9, he said, here's the angel's answer. He said, go your way. It's like, almost like, stop it. Enough. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed. Remember back in verse 4? Shut up and seal. It's like, I've given you as much as you need. You're on a need-to-know basis. And you've gotten a lot more than most of your own people, let alone the pagan world, which is in darkness. You've been given a whole lot of revelation. And so that thing is now done. You're done. So verse 9, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. You're not going to know for a while. You know, if you're there at the end, you'll find out. Now, we know he'll be there resurrected, but from his perspective, he was thinking, you know, I'm going to be around to the end of the age. And also the New Testament writers had that assumption as well. Verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise, you know, like you, Daniel, shall understand. You've been given wisdom and understanding. But it only goes so far. Verse 11. And from the time of the regular burnt, that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Now, did that clarify everything for y'all, by the way? It's like things were just added which aren't bringing it into a focus. It's actually making it more blurry. It's like, I don't know exactly what this is talking about. Now, to be fair, Daniel had alluded to the abomination of desolations earlier, and here, of course, and then Jesus later on would talk about the abomination that makes desolate. It had already happened a century before Jesus, but he also is forecasting, because prophecy has that ripple effect. It has enlargements. He's also forecasting what's going to come in the end of time. And so basically here in verse 11, we have some time frames given which are a little bit mysterious. Because if it was 3.5 years, it'd be 1,260 days, because the biblical year was 360 days. And so if it was that, it'd be 1,260, but now we've got 1,290, and then we've got this 1,335. Now, what does it mean? And we can conjecture and conjecture all day, and there's plenty of conjecture that is out there in reference. Like, is a 1,290, is that 30 days to where Jesus sets up his kingdom? He's already come. Now it's inaugurated. Is the 1,335th day the judgment, like between the sheep and the goats? Who knows? And that is my point. We can enjoy what God has given us. He's given us a wonderful amount of revelation, which would even make, if Daniel had this capacity, would even make Daniel green with envy. We know things. I mean, Jesus talked to his own disciples like this. He said, man, if he didn't say man, but he said, if kings, there are kings of old that would have desired to know what you know. You have been given, just by being with Jesus, you have that advantage. And now we have the Holy Spirit, and then we have the words of the New Testament, and we have been given plenty of revelation. And so to us, just like to Daniel, but go your way. Now, it's the second time he says that. Go your way. It's in other words, stop investigating the situation. In other words, go live your life unto the Lord. Cease from anxious musings and having to have more information. I mean, that is in our genes from Adam and Eve. They wanted more than what was allotted for them. And they said, forget the learning curves and the times and seasons God's going to teach us. We'll take the fast track called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is in us, even as Christians now, even as saints like Daniel, that I want more. I'm not satisfied. And what it can lead to is unrest. It can lead to a situation where we begin to be like those who are ever learning more and more. And there's always going to be voices. There's always going to be speculators and information out there. But there's got to come a point, and this is where we factor in our word for the year, by the way. What's that word? There's got to come a point where we could just trust our Abba Father that He has given us what we need for right now. And if we get another day, you know, if we get a Monday, September 18th, 2023, He'll give us what we need for that day. It's not about just staying stuck in a certain mode. Of course, we're growing. Of course, God has revelation for us. But it's about being at peace, that God will teach us and He will give us insight. He'll give us foresight. He'll show us things in His time and in His way. Now, let me read verse 13 again as we finish the text here and, of course, the book of Daniel. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of time. And so it's almost like, Daniel, take it easy. Enough. I know you're curious, but you've been given what you need. And so just go and be at rest. And if we're going to be diligent about something as Christians, and, you know, right now the angle is Bible prophecy. But if we're going to be diligent, let us labor or be diligent to enter into the rest of God. Let us be diligent to come to Him, and with all of our maybe mystery and wondering and curiosity, Lord, help me just to be content to sit at your feet. Help me to be a person of peace and to experience the perfect peace which passes understanding. What would I rather have? A bunch of understanding that I'm unable to apply and to be at peace with, because that would probably multiply. If I, well, I want more. Or would I rather sit at your feet and experience the rest that can only be found in Jesus Christ? And so four gleanings, and then we're done. Number one, it's on the back of your notes, by the way. Number one, the speed of deliverance. It is always a bit of a mystery and almost a paradox, because the length of difficult times, the length of our trials, when you're in a trial, that seems like an eternity. And your heart cries out these questions. You see, these questions not only can be applied to Daniel's desire in terms of eschatology and last days things, but now we can also reposition that. When we're going through trials, when we're afflicted, when we have health challenges, we have relational challenges, financial challenges, or even the times where I don't even know what's going on. Why so downcast, oh my soul? I have no idea why I'm so down. When we have those times, they seem to have an eternity about them. And the question will rise up, how long? How long? When is this going to come to an end? And then a follow-up question often comes, I don't understand why this is happening. And now I need to know. And so now you start, you know, checking yourself. You start going to all the websites and watching all the YouTubes and trying to get all this analysis to fully understand, because there is this assumption, if I fully understand it, then I can master the situation. That in and of itself will bring resolve. When actually it's, like I said earlier, it's kind of a multiplier effect. We're never satisfied. And sometimes, with much knowledge, actually comes much A, happiness, or B, much sorrow. Much sorrow. Are you sure you want to know that? And so the joy of this is when the deliverance comes, because every trial we go through, every affliction has an endpoint, because everything in this world, and this can be a happy statement or a miserable statement, depending on your perspective, but everything in this world has an endpoint. And for Christians, the wonderful thing is that the deliverance is going to come, and when the deliverance comes, it's like the weeping is through the night. Oh, this is taking so long. I'm losing sleep, and my thoughts are going 1,000 different directions. But that sun eventually comes. Eventually, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, comes with healing in his wings, and he brings deliverance. And when the deliverance comes, I've had this experience often in my life, go through months or even years of a certain situation, and then the decree goes forth. The answer comes, a joyous thing. It's a deliverance. And the deliverance, even though when I was in it, seemed to be like way out there and isn't even going to come, when it comes, it's a speedy thing. And that's the perspective of heaven. The perspective of heaven is a ever-present now. God does not experience a past and a future. So he experiences our trials with us and the deliverance. It's all at once to God. So from the perspective of the kingdom, everything is instant. You know what we'd like to have here. Well, everything is that way with him, though in our realm, we're still dealing with some sequencing. And why are we dealing with process? Why are we dealing with time? Well, Daniel kind of had it in chapter 12 there. Many shall be refined. We're the ones that need character development. And there's a reason for the crushing and for the potter twisting and hard to us as clay at times. And we're like, oh, you know, how long is this going to take? And why are you doing this exactly? There's a reason, but God will come out with the finished product. And when we get there, it's a speedy thing. Shall he not avenge his people? And that speedily. Everything from God is immediate. Tap into God. Draw near to God with faith. Your healing, your deliverance, overcoming depression, the relational struggles, everything has a deliverance, just like in verse 1. It says, oh, this is going to be the worst time in all of human history upon your people. And I apply that to the saints at the end of time. At the end of time, the bride of Christ is going to experience such a difficult time, but it'll seem like nothing. It'll be over. It'll like come and go. And we'll go, wow, that was fast. And the songs of deliverance will be sung about us. And then, of course, when we're in eternity, the perspective is, oh, it was all a vapor anyway. That was super fast. I mean, how many of you even look back in your life and that's gone by super fast? It's like, who's pressed the fast forward button? It's moving so quickly. The speed of deliverance. So I want to encourage you with that up front here in this first gleaning, that your deliverance is already done in God. He is the yea and amen. It's an accomplished thing. The one who's begun a good work in you, which involves a lot of those seasons of trials, it is going to have a finish and a good end. Therefore, count it all joy, brothers when you and sisters, when you experience various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Let that work have its full work, and God will bring about deliverance. Secondly, and quickly here, true wisdom. Now, in verse 3 of Daniel 12, I didn't touch on it too much. It says here, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Now, in the Old Testament, in this dispensation of time, wisdom was defined in various ways. There was the wise person who feared the Lord. Fear God and obey his commandments. This is the end of the matter. There was the wise person who followed the law. Psalm chapter 1, the person that's blessed, that they meditate on the law day and night. And those are wise people. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we find ultimately that wisdom is Jesus Christ himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. Jesus is the wisdom of God. So what makes a person wise now? A person is wise when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they follow him. That is wisdom. Everything else is folly. And so at this point, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll shine like the stars. You'll have a glorious eternity. If you're foolish, that is to say, that is the rejection of Jesus Christ. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable. That is the true fool. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. God's irrelevant. I'm God. I control my life. No one tells me what to do. But the wise says, you know, there's a power beyond me. There's obviously a creator, because you can't have all this complexity in creation without a creator. And then there are expectations of this creator. I have a moral compass in me. Animals don't have that. And so that has also to connect to something beyond me, transcendence. And then, of course, we come to the wonderful message of the gospel and Christianity. What does Christianity do? It makes sense of the world around us much better than any other religion. They don't even come close. And so we have all these layers, creation, moral compass, the written word of God, and then to make a choice to say, you know, I submit to that. I submit to the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe in the message. The power of God unto salvation happens, and that person will shine for all eternity. Anybody who does not, that is not wise in that way, is going to be cast into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And brothers and sisters, I don't care how it may sound, because from this guy's perspective, the reality is there's going to be two locations for every soul after we die, with the Lord in glory, shining and basking in him for all eternity and enjoying him, or away from the Lord, a place of horror. Just to be away from the Lord is horror, let alone everything else that's in that place. And so be wise, humble yourself, kiss Jesus Christ, give him affection, embrace him while you have a chance. Don't risk your soul for all eternity with any other foolishness that would involve. Now, number three here, and this was already touched on in greater lengths, be content with what you know. Now, we Christians walk a fine line. We are to be filled with the knowledge of revelation and the spirit of wisdom, and God wants us to grow. And we also have to know when we start to get a little bit aggressive, when we're pushing, well, I want to know more. And so be content with what you need to know. You know, I've been so blessed in the last couple of years to have a reminder of how wonderful a baby is. You know, I had babies, but after 20 years, you kind of forget what's involved with babies. And it's a wonderful season with little Erilyn. And one, you know, the lessons that you get, but right now she's in the phase, she's been in this phase of what is it for a while. What is it? You know, that's her favorite question. And so now it's morphed a little bit into what are you doing, at least with Papa. And so the other day, there's a light bulb out in the closet here, and that's just the way I am. If it needs fixing and I can do it, I do it. And so I'm working on that. She goes, what are you doing? Now, how do I go about explaining what I'm doing to a two-year-old? Well, you know, there's electricity, and this switch connects to that, and that thing needs to be replaced. She does not have the capacity. She knows enough to know that she doesn't know, but she certainly doesn't have the capacity to comprehend what in the world Papa's doing. And, you know, we've got this Papa, Abba Father. Papa, you know, that's Latin. Pope comes from that, Father, we've got this wonderful Papa. And, you know, she's asking just from innocent curiosity, but, you know, sometimes it can get on your nerves. You know, well, what are you doing while I'm driving? What are you doing while I'm doing? Yeah, always, what are you doing? And I wonder at times if we perhaps can cross a line. You know, what are you doing? And I want to know. And how long is this going to be? And we move from a simplicity of faith, like, you know, I'd like to know, but I'll leave that in your hands. So, no, I want to know. And here's a great psalm. It's a super short psalm. Psalm 131, it's actually three verses, but I'll shorten it more and just read two verses. In Psalm 131, and this might be helpful for some of us, because again, when we're going through trials or we're just trying to understand maybe the madness of the world, which is not helpful, by the way, you know, how long is this going to take, and what I need to understand it to some extent so I can maybe master it. Psalm 131 might be helpful. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. You see, that's called, it starts with an H. Who could tell me what that's called? Humility. I don't have to. There are things that are too great and marvelous. A lot of people assume there's nothing too great and marvelous, therefore I should know it all. And we live in a generation where everybody is entitled. We should know it all. And, you know, that's the whole thing about the media. Not that I'm against the media, but the media has this, you know, well, you have a right to know all these things. And, you know, even though it steers people anymore. But I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed. Oh, thanks be to God, someone could do this. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's like, Daniel, go your way. I said, go your way. It's sealed enough. To be able to come to that point and really rest and knowing that God will inform us, we're on a need-to-know basis, He will inform us when the time is right. Some things, brothers and sisters, are not going to be known till the other side. You know, to use the analogy again, there's absolutely no way a two-year-old can comprehend what he's doing with that light bulb. And there are some things that are like unto that. No matter how mature or advanced or spiritual I get, there's some things that the light bulb won't turn on until I'm there in glory and say, oh, well, there's no way I would have got that. And God says, yeah, of course. That's why you had to wait. And you stirred. You weren't at peace. And you did all this research, and instead you could have done just a few things well. Instead you were scattered here and there and trying to understand your trials or trying to understand your backstory and your family and trying to get everything as perfect as possible because then you can master it. And all along, you know, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And I'll show you things. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, and God reveals things when He wants to paraphrase that verse. Finally, and the perfect ending, verse 4, trust the Lord. Verse 13, again, it's fitting to repeat the verse that finishes this awesome book. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and and stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Now look, this is trust in the Lord, that I can rest in Him now. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. A lot of you are very anxious people, and I understand it because that's my proclivity. And God wants us to enter into His rest. And so often, the come unto me, all you who labor and you're heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. I will restore you. And then look what it says here at the end of verse 13. You will stand. You're not going down. You're not going to be a victim. You're not going to be a perma victim, someone that the Antichrist martyrs or whatever, or I never got victory over this and that. No, you and I who are in Christ, we are going to stand in our allotted place. It is a guarantee. We have a home in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. I bring comfort. Let your hearts not be troubled. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He's going to bring us to himself, and we are going to stand with the righteous in the end. Not a bunch of people that are in a permanent victim category, the defeated. Even those who die for their faith, that is not a defeat. That's just like a fast track to glory, really. And they will stand in the end. The righteous will stand in their allotted place. They'll be positioned with the King of Glory and shall shine for all eternity. And so, Daniel, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Same to us. And so may that encourage you today that in Christ, you are awesome. In Christ, you are a person of victory. You're a person that is already triumphing because Christ has triumphed. Stay in Christ. Just remain close to him. You're like an untouchable. You can't lose. Trust in the Lord. And when the mind gets going, oh, I got to know what's going on, how long, what else is there to know? You know, just say, hold on a second. You know, if you could press, wouldn't that be great to have a pause button to press on that? Just hold on a second. I'm gonna refer above, refer to the above. I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord, who is the author and also the finisher, perfecter, consummator. He's got it all in hand. My life is in his hands. And so I want to pray today for me and for you, if we could stand. What a wonderful finish to this book. It'd be great if it was the last message. Not for the first reason you're thinking, but but because of the coming of Christ, the grand finale. But until then, if we could close our eyes for a moment. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand with Jesus, you can't at this point confidently say, yeah, I'm going to stand with the Lord in the end. Jesus wants to bring you to a place of confidence, but he does not force anybody to embrace him. This is the day to believe on Jesus Christ. No one is guaranteed a tomorrow. No one's guaranteed a 1 o'clock. And so if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, take his offer. Receive him as your Savior. Because of our sin, we are separated from God already. And hell is just the final extension of that. But he wants to bring you near. He wants to bring you into his family. Believe on Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. Embrace him, and you'll be a son or daughter of God. And so, just between you and I, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd love a chance to pray for you after the service. Just raise your hand, and I'll remember you in prayer today. It's God's great love and his patience. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. I'd love to pray for you. Just raise your hand so I could pray for you today. Brothers and sisters, simple, very simple. Oh, Lord God, help me to enter into that rest and to thank you for identifying today some of the anxiousness and the curiosity, which is killing the cat, not helping the cat, the stirrings. Lord, help me to be at peace. And you spoke to Daniel. You're going to speak to me. We're all going to stand in glory. And until then, let me be a person of peace. Be at rest. That's you. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Lord, we ask today you'd help us. We thank you for what you do reveal to us. You've given us so much, your Spirit, the Word, the Church. And so, Lord, let us be satisfied in a good way, to be children that are content what we've received, to praise you, to enjoy that, and to leave it at that, to go our way, to live our lives unto you, knowing that you'll take care of us and you'll speak to us in your time and your way, until you receive us all in glory, until we're standing together in the place of the victorious kingdom, praising you, our King. Thank you, Lord, for this message you've given us today. I pray your peace upon your people. I pray that they would go out, be strong, and be valiant. Freely we have received, freely let us give. Let people be rescued from darkness and brought into this kingdom and into this church or another living church. And we just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings upon you.